We had some introduction where Paul, man, we've been talking a lot about the church, man, because I think today the church is not talked enough about. The church is fading away a little bit, and, you know, between social media and the internet, people have all kinds of things, and people, do you realize that 98% of the times church is found in the Bible, it's a local church? Because everybody today wants to make it, well, I'm part of the church, I got my church, I go over here, and even last night, there's a church that I really like that does a Saturday night service. So I was just pecking away, man, and I was listening to him. I thought, man, what a great church. It was a little entertaining, but I don't mind that either. You know, so I was enjoying that, and I thought, my gosh, I looked at all the hundreds of thousands of people that were there, and unfortunately with a little bit of lack of a connection. But I just want you to know that we're in this book, and the majority of books that Paul writes, if they're not to several pastors that write churches that, or that pastor churches, it's to a location, a local church, and that's no different here. We got in the book of Acts and seen how Paul comes into this city, man. They preach the gospel. People got saved. And when a group of people get saved and they gather together, man, you got yourselves a church. He started discipling them. They started maturing, but immediately they had trouble. To become a Christian in Thessalonica, you were going to get your butt kicked. People persecuted them. They suffered greatly. Matter of fact, when Paul was sent to the next town over, the Thessalonians were so buck wild, they sent a group of people. It'd be like us saying, you know what? It's getting rough around here. Let's keep a guy here to keep teaching the word. Send Paul over to Galesburg. Send Paul to the Cameron area. And they're just like, we'll meet him there. And so they went and caused opposition there too. So we looked at the history of this thing, and that's why it says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, under the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul usually ends all of his books, his introduction with this, grace and peace, grace and peace. Verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing, we covered this, man, your work of faith, your labor of love, your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So we looked at that too, that their faith was so intense that prompted work. You know, that's why the Bible says faith without works is dead. Yeah, you just don't know it's there, do you? So he says, man, your faith. Man, your faith had work connected to it. And some of you would say, my faith is not working. Well, it's time for you to work. I mean, God put it in his word clearly how that thing goes. He said, your labor of love, that you love so much that you labor for it. And I know the things that we love, we're willing to labor for. That labor, word labor actually can mean suffering, difficult times, so or sacrifice. But that's a word you don't hear today, isn't it? We shy away from saying things like give, volunteer. You know, those type of words. It's like, oh, man, I know people are real busy. Well, the Bible word would go even a step further and say, hey, what about sacrifice? What you really love, you will labor for. You'll pay a price for, right? And your hope, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, you're chosen. God chose you. That was a neat word, election. Most of the time you find that word election in the Bible. It's the nation of Israel. You only find it a couple times for the church. That's why when you're reading passages of Scripture, you got to determine the context, because a lot of people take that word and they'll twist it and come it up with a doctrine that I don't think is biblical in the New Testament, but smart guys really like to teach it that, you know, you're one of the elected ones or you're not. And that's actually determined even from birth. False. But he says here, man, knowing, brother and beloved, you're, man, God chose you guys, man. And I know you've been through the fire, but you're after it. Verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. I've always liked this verse. You know, the gospel comes with much assurance when people really get saved. A lot of people start doubting their salvation. There's a doctrine that we teach here called eternal security. That's not always a popular one today either. That once you meet Jesus Christ, your eternity is settled because of him. He becomes the foundation. Your building might be jacked up, but that foundation never changes. And Paul says, our gospel just wasn't word only. What did it come in? Yeah, power. The Holy Ghost, not Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit becomes the Holy Ghost. And in much assurance, man, it should come in much assurance. One of the first things we need to teach people when they get saved is about the assurance of salvation and what salvation's really after. So salvation's not based upon our works, right, church? Amen? It's not based upon that, or none of us would make it, right? We would all be in deep trouble. Because there's days I do very well. Then there's the day, there's the moments, there's the minutes where I'm just like, my gosh. And the people live in constant fear that, because, you know, my gospel came in much assurance, man. When you preach the gospel like it should be preached, it should come with much assurance. That assurance is in Christ Jesus, not always on my behavior, even though the gospel affects my behavior, right? Do you see it? You got it? I know we believe that. We teach it pretty heavy here. We had a guy leave our church not too long ago, and he told me that he goes, man, I do not believe in eternal security. I just said, dude, I am so sorry. You're not going to do well here. I mean, take me there. I said, show me the verses. And, you know, he did show me a few verses, and they were all out of context. Several of them was even before Jesus Christ died, buried, and was resurrected. I was like, you're trying to tell me that we're not. Yeah, they didn't have assurance back then. It's different today. It's different because of what Christ has done. And of course, anyways, I could get off on that all day long, but it comes with much assurance. We should be that solid in our salvation. And it says, at much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So folks, I don't know if you see it, but in verse 5, after he says the word, the gospel didn't come in a word only, but also in power, Holy Ghost, and a much assurance, he says, and ye know what? What manner of men we were among you for your sake. You knew us. Verse 6 says, and ye became followers. So ye know, ye became followers of us and of the Lord, and having received the word of much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples. If you would sentence diagram this passage, you would find out there's really 3 points to our message today in verses 5 through 7. And that is, ye know, ye become followers, and ye were in samples. Or maybe a better way to say that is, when we're talking about spiritual leadership in the church, we should know them, follow them, and then model them. We're talking discipleship today. This is exactly what happened to this church at Thessalonica. So let's cover that first one. He says at the end of verse 5, ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. So knowing them, the church, Paul said, you guys knew us as leaders. So let's talk about that for a bit. He said that you knew us, man, and what manner of men we were. You knew us. Basically, to know somebody, they said, you paid attention to us. We were being inspected, and we all do it, and you should do it, you know, to inspect, to examine, to discern. He says, our lives was on display, and you know us. I grew up in a church where nobody knew the pastor. This is going to sound silly, I know, but I grew up a church in Akron, Ohio, that once in the Guinness World of Records held the largest Sunday school in the entire world. And our pastor, was named Charles Billington, after church, he had a few men that would escort him out, and he got into his limo, and they drove him off. He was really untouchable. And I tried to tackle him one time, and, man, I couldn't get near him. It was rough. But now, the limo wasn't a stretch limo, but it was a really fancy Cadillac, and he just sat in the back seat. Now, I want you to know something. I read a book years ago called God is Real, and it was by Charles Billington's father. Very great church history, connected with the church I actually learned the Bible in. They were all sister churches. But you know what happens is, a guy paid a price and led a church through the Depression. Yeah, this guy, Billington, his daddy, when he started the church, the Depression hit, and all of a sudden the government, and sorry, I got storytelling of me today. The government said, I know you're running 32 buses to pick up children, but now that the Depression's in place, we're kind of, wartime is on the edge, and they said, we're not giving only a certain amount of gas rations to you. So what he did is had somebody fill the pulpit, and on Sunday morning, he heard word that beer trucks were running on the highway. He went down to the highway in downtown Akron, Ohio, with his guys, 3 guys with him. They pulled on the side of the road, waited until the beer truck pulled out, knew what highway they were going down, and got out in the middle of the highway, called the Akron Beacon Journal and said, please come down here. So there's a picture of him like this, on the highway, and the beer truck stopped, and his quote was, he's like, you know, it's amazing to me, people need hope today, and you're willing to give beer trucks gasoline and not allow kids to come to church, man. This guy was not playing games, man. He was dead. There's all kinds of stories in this book about, like, man, saying, oh, so that's how real men of God behave. I mean, it was just incredible. And this guy, and they finally, there were so many people that wanted to come to church, their building couldn't hold them. And you couldn't build because they had no money back then. I mean, it was a bad, bad time. And so you know what he did? He found drive-in theaters that were going out of business. He went and bought all their speakers. And he had posts mounted in the ground, and people would pull up on their Sunday. That's when everybody wore suits and ties, and pull up in suits and ties, their kids in the back seat, and they'd roll down the window. Pastors in there preaching, they broadcast to the service, and you put the little speaker on your glass window. Remember going to the drive-in theaters and doing that as a kid? I remember it. And so it shows, I got pictures of the whole parking lot filled with cars, the insides filled with people, and people out there just listening to the word out of that little speaker, you know. And I always think of Charlie Bunker. Those were the days. Yeah, man. And Charles Billington steps up to the plate and just says, I think I need a driver. I think I need a limousine. I think we need stained glass windows. And millions of dollars later. And you know what that church is today? A lot of homeless people are living there, but they're getting ready to bulldoze it down. The auditorium could seat 6,000 people, and they're getting ready to bulldoze it down. Ain't that something? So he says, you know what? You know what manner of men we were. I grew up in a church where nobody really knew. We hired one of the pastors at the church that we didn't know to do our wedding. And this pastor came along to do our wedding. And we decided on Friday night rehearsal, I guess the pastor was out of town. And so the wedding coordinator was setting us up. And, you know, we paid our money and everything. I just said, hey, man, let's order 12 large pizzas for everybody in the wedding party. So when he got there, we weren't in the auditorium. We were in this fellowship hall room eating pizza, though this pastor showed up from out of town, and he just ripped into all of us. What are you doing in here? You can't eat pizza. This is the church. You did Who's going to clean this mess up? And he just, like, he raked me over the coals, and I'm just a young man, you know, and I'm just, like, taking it. And, you know, the only one that was man enough to say something was my brother, who at this point in his life did not know the Lord Jesus Christ and had a drug addiction. And my brother busted through in front of everybody. We had members there of this church. They weren't saying anything. This pastor was like, he even said this to us. He was kind of a feminine guy, like a little bit sweet. And we called him Sugar. And he said, just kidding, behind his back we did. But he was talking, and he goes, I know you guys think I'm just a pastor, but he goes, you put me in a corner and I'm like grabbing a grizzly bear by the tail. That's what he said. I was like, dude, I ain't grabbing your tail. And I ain't afraid of getting bit either, you know. But my brother stepped up to the plate and says, hey, dude, I don't think men of God should talk to him. My brother's bumping this dude to his chest, you know. And I'm like, get him, boy, get him. I want my brother, you know. But anyways, the bottom line is we didn't even know this man. And we didn't know the pastor. And Paul said to these guys, he goes, you know, Matt, what manner of men we were among you. I realize churches get so big and it's hard to make that connection. But if your church is at the spot where you can't know the leadership and the people leading, something's wrong. It might just be too big. It might be time to divide and conquer. I'm not sure. Did you know what 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says? We're in the book right here. Just flip over a few pages. It says in verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. You better know them that are what? Labor among you. You should work together. And they're over you. What leadership is over you? People today would say, nobody's going to be over me. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know, because we all got the God of Google. I can get any answer I want to, right? What about admonish you? That's like somebody can give you warning. Who is in your life that can say you are not where you should be? And if you can't name that person, and please don't give me a list of your friends. Your friends ain't man enough to do that. Usually your friends and you love it. Now, I'm not saying you don't have some friends that can do that, but I'm just saying you need leadership in your life, not friends. Bob Barry, you did well there. We just had a situation go down, and this guy just said, you know, he was like ripping into me as his pastor. And ripping. I was just sitting there like, wow, it hurts. Oh, ow. Bob goes, wait a minute. He goes, hey, I love this man. He's my friend. And Bob stepped up and goes, hey, there's a problem here. You keep calling him your friend. I think you forgot he's your pastor. You don't do that and talk to him that way. And yet I thought, well, we are friends. But that's when we labored together. And so I love how he says that. Know them that labor among you. know them. I wouldn't go anywhere where I didn't know. I like people that leave here and just, I'm not sure I like everything going on. Then they go somewhere to a total strange place. They put themselves in submission. I'm like, I would know them. I would get to know those folks before I would just jump in. So, you know what also Paul says, if you go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 8, he says, we were so affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also, what, our own souls, because you were dear to us. Man, the gospel just didn't come in word. He said, we gave you our lives, man. That's what we did. Just a beautiful picture of a good minister. So it says here that ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. For your sake, you know who we were. You know, and guys, it's probably the curse. I'm a kind of an open book, and I think I should be. But unfortunately, sometimes it allows. I read a book called The Local Church years ago by a fundamental Baptist pastor. And in this book, you know what he clearly says? Do not get too close to the people. They'll start seeing your humanness, and it'll be very hard for them to follow you. I'm just like, I think I might die. You know, putting myself, I didn't agree with that. By the way, there was no Bible verses in there. It was just a book of experience. And I couldn't help but think, but maybe it's because this pastor that wrote this was possibly carnal. Maybe he was fleshly. I don't know. Because up here, I look my best, you know. But the reality is, this is not a Nicolaitan system like Revelation curses, where there's leaders here and laity here. No, we're all on equal playing ground. God's just called me to pastor. So I shepherd and I watch out for souls. But don't ever forget it, my friends. Sometimes people get close and want a pastor. And they get near me and they hear me go, bah! Oh, yeah, he's one of us. Absolutely one of you. That's why a lot of times what God's doing in me, I find when I preach it, I find like, ah, you're struggling with the same thing. You know, God does it. It's kind of a beautiful thing. Hey, let me give you a few points on this, on knowing them. You know, like really to pay attention, to examine. You should know leadership for real. And you know the curse behind this. Let me give you a few things. First of all, how do you really get to know somebody? How do you get to know somebody? And I would give you this. If you look up that word to know, it's translated several different ways in the Bible. But at the beginning of the Gospels, in Matthew 2:2, it says the wise man says, hey, we have seen his star in the east. That word seen, we seen it. We know it. It's translated the same way. They come up to when the baby Jesus became a child later, a couple years later, they came upon him and they said, we saw him with our own eyes. You know, or Matthew 7, Jesus says twice in that chapter, you know how you're going to know them? You'll know them by their fruit. My friend's fruit is visible. You can see it. I'm not really good at knowing trees. I you know, we got a couple fireplaces, so I'm high on getting firewood, and people just like, hey, man, this wood, you don't want to. And I get on Google, and I'm like, what wood stinks? You know, I don't want that. What wood? And so I go, and a guy's like, well, that over there is, you know, that's some hard maple over there. And I'm just like, when I was in the cabinet shop working, I knew four kinds of wood, and I knew them by their grain when the board was planed down. But you give me a log, and he'd split it, and I'd look. I'm like, sometimes I can tell by the smell, you know. And I'm just like, whoo, this stinks. This is dogwood, man. He's like, no. Oh, I'm sorry. I just assume a dog would stink. But no, this is this kind of wood. And so you got to, but if a tree pops out some fruit, I can easily just say, whoo, that is the apple tree for sure. We grew up had a pear tree in our yard. How did I know? Well, because it spit pears everywhere. And everybody always said that tree's dying and dead. The fruit's no good. Not true. It's not true. But it popped fruit out, right? So how do we know somebody? He says, hey, you knew what manner of men we were. You know why? Because they seen it. They were in front of them. They were in samples. They walked it right in front of them. This is how you know people. You'll know them by their fruit. Guys, our heroes, our leaders must be touchable. Now listen, I know that theory will break down. When you start getting into large corporations, business, everybody's not going to be friends with the CEO. But his job then is to train leaders under him that can touch people's lives for real. And sometimes I think church has got a little bit of the wrong model. But basically, be careful that your heroes are just not on a screen. I think that's what we can learn from this. Be careful. A lot of our heroes, and people say this all the time, and my pastor is, and they name some website, you know, or some place. My pastor is, you know, over here. And I'm just like, that's cool. You know, he's all over the place. He's famous on TikTok too. And I'm not saying what he says or is wrong. I'm just saying it's amazing that you don't get to see that. Just remember, a lot of times when you're preaching, preaching is God's holy truth going through a personality. Guys, sometimes we're up here and we're laughing and I'm telling stories. But I live the same real life on the same planet that you do, right? And so just make sure you're careful that, especially when you got a little town and a little church, there is no excuses for us. None. It's amazing to me, all the scriptures. You know, pastors want to know who's part of their fold. And there's a responsibility to know them that labor among you. But the majority of times you find that context, it's for, people to know you. So people would just say, you know, yeah, my pastor hasn't, you know, he didn't call me. He didn't come see me. You know, they like to put the pressure on you. I'm just like, oh, I get that. I really do, and I don't want to take anything from that, because even Proverbs says that a good shepherd, it says, to know the state of your flock. So the state of the flock, that's kind of a big picture thing, but it's amazing to me that people will say that and just say, you know, he has never reached out to me. Okay, and here's what I got to say to you, 867-5309, baby, call that number, see where it takes you, you know. Most people know my cell number. You should be touchable. You should be accessible. I don't think we have that issue here. And that's why he says, you know what manner men we were among you. So just remember, how to know somebody is really so you can get up close and see them. You can watch them. He says, you know what manner of men we were, or what sort of people we were. You know, and that's why, guys, notice he says in verse 6, you became followers of us in the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. They received the word with affliction, but they had the joy of the Holy Ghost. You know what this is saying here? He's just saying, man, you guys received the word. You paid a price. We seen you pay a price. Well, they came in and immediately had to start moving and running. They knew what manner of men they were. They were godly men. They had character, and yet they were under the heat. So I guess I just want you to know that it's important, I think, for people to see what kind of manner, and you don't know until somebody goes through the heat. You got to see somebody through the pressure. COVID was beautiful, wasn't it? I say that now. In the middle of it, I was like, I don't know what this is. But it was beautiful because what it did is it was kind of like a pressure cooker. And it kind of revealed a little bit of who we were. And please, don't take that overly personal. And yet, I'm going to beg you this morning to take that very personal. I'm not pointing at anybody or thinking necessarily of you, even me. There's times I didn't know what to do. There was times I called off church and we're at home and doing live things, and I'm at home under conviction, like, God, what am I doing here? I'm not about to spread. I don't want to be cause or spread. I know this thing's ugly and people are, I know this, but here I am, and I'm living by fear. And it was just so hard, back and forth, that we all experienced that, didn't we? But you know what it did? It sure leaned us out, didn't it? Leaned our church out. And so because we were able to really see, and that's why people that get married quickly, we always tell young people, there's an engagement period, get to know them. You know what that is? It's a testing period. You got to see them under pressure. You don't want to get married to somebody you haven't seen under pressure. Put them under pressure. Stay with them long enough to see them under pressure. And if you're like, man, I've been with this guy 2 years and haven't seen him under pressure, I would run. He's obviously living a pretty lame life. Oh, everybody likes them? Do you really want a man like that? Do you want a lady like that? You got to see people at their worst. Then you'll be shocked, right? The day after you're married, you'll be shocked. Man, but see them under pressure and see how they respond. I always tell people, see how they treat their mom and dad. I would look at that, really. If I got a girl and she talks bad about her dad, my friend, I'm telling you, you're next. It'll be you. You know, if you see a guy and he disrespects his mom all the time and you can see, don't do anything around the house, I would immediately, as a lady, I would tap the brakes and just say, my gosh, I love him so much. My heart beats when I'm around him, but something's telling me, like, I don't know about this. Yeah, know them. Know them. Isn't it interesting that the Bible, a different definition and a different word in Hebrew, when it talks about Adam and Eve coming together, it says an Adam knew his wife. Speaking of this kind of context of a physical coming together, but you know what I love about that? Because that's how it's supposed to work, is you start as friends and get to know somebody, and then what happens, it leads to that point where, yes, you can get married, and then physically you become one. And the problem is people hook up, they physically, they jump the relationship, the friendship, then you do this, your soul's connected, and you're like, I literally have people say this to me. I know the guy's a wiener, but I love him. You skipped a couple spots. You didn't take the time to get to know him. And now you've made yourself vulnerable. And now as a Christian young man or girl, there's guilt. And you're like, oh my gosh, what do we do now? So to know them. Hey, let me show you a few things in Scripture as I was studying this whole thing of knowing people. You got to watch them. But I want you to be careful of this. Watch the new. Here's what I mean by that. Guys, social media, the internet has changed things. So like things are hopping like this. Trends don't last as long. They change. And what was popular yesterday, people were literally saying, that was so yesterday. Literally, it was yesterday, and now it ain't popular anymore, you know. So it's true. But you know, in 2 Peter 1:12, it says this. Peter says, put the people in remembrance of things that they already know. We had a vision conference this week. There's a curse. Everybody wants something new. You want the fresh, right? And so the problem is, he has to tell this pastor, hey, you put people in remembrance of things they already know. Jay started out the vision conference and he said, you know what? I'm going to preach things that I think you already know. And I'm sitting there like, remind me, man. Give it back to me. It's the simple things, right? It's the things we already know that I need to hear again. But we get caught up, and I just want to really warn us, all of us that are on social media, be careful because you're always wanting fresh. You're always wanting something new, right? You want something trendy. You want something cool. And cool just don't always cut it. You know, we need back to basics, right? We need simple things. So I just want to warn, in Acts 17, remember Paul goes up and just says, man, you guys, it's on Mars Hill, because that's all you do is live for something new. Yeah, they're all on their phones. That's why. They're all doing social media. And they're like, yeah, you just want to see something new. Have you heard the latest? You know, and the bam, 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 bam. And he just said, you know, I got news for you. Since you always want something new, that's why you call him the unknown God. When you're always after something new, you'll never know him. So we remind you of things. You know, we used to sing it. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from the Bible. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's word. Right? This is an old book with timeless truths. That's why we got to be saturated in this book. We got to know what the Bible says, man. So be careful like them Epicureans that on Mars Hill, that group of people, always wanting something new. Your God is always unknown. What I like about us is, you know how it is. Today we lose this. There was something fresh about having like a patriarch or a matriarch in the family when everybody can come together and there's granny. Or you come into a house, you're getting loud, kids are running around, there's, and you're like, hey, what's up? You know, and you're fist bumping your brothers and cousins, and then you go up and grandpa's in the chair. You're like, hey, grandpa. He's the staple of the family. And everybody that was in trouble because of their newness, they went to my grandpa. This guy lived in a shack, man, on a hill. I'm telling you, their house was so rough that when both my grandma and grandpa passed away, my uncle bought it to bulldoze it down. I'm telling you, it wasn't worth the remodel. You had more money in the family than anybody? Grandpa. Was it because he was rich and made fat money? No, he just really operated pretty simple by basic things, and everybody knew it. We knew it, man. So just want to give you a little bit of warning. It's a good warning for me. Always wanting the new, always wanting the sexy, the next thing. Sometimes it'll lead you to nowhere. So let's just remember this, to know them. He said, man, you knew what manner of men we were. You know, we were common guys, man, and you could watch our lives. There was no secrets here. We labored among you, and you labored with us too, right? And just remember, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So a fleshly natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. So to be Spirit-filled, and you know God's Spirit, and you're living after that book right there, and you're a man or a woman of faith, it should make you known. And some people, and that's why some people can sit in the same message, and I'll have four people tell me, that was life-changing. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to stop this. I'm starting this. God moved to me. You'll have other people that go, it was okay. And usually that's a good sign. That's carnality. Because that kind of thinking in the natural man, don't get it. They don't get the things of the Spirit of God. So if we're not walking in the Spirit, we're spiritual people, you're going to come into church and it's going to be old hat. I've been told this several times in history too, that, you know, your message is repeated. I come in the same, you might be in a different passage, but I keep hearing the same things. I'm not hearing nothing new. Well, go to another place and you'll get on their train. Get on their track that does this. Woo, 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 woo. You know, because it's the same, isn't it? And that's why Peter says, put them in remembrance of the things they already know. You remember these things. They know these things, right? So, hey, a couple bullet points. The whole point here is know your leaders. Know your leaders. If you're a leader in this room, leaders, be known. You know, we just had our election, and I download some information and get on that Illinois Family Institute. I want to see, there's some hot topics that interest me as a believer, and I want to see where people stand on them. And so a lot of times, I'll just be honest, some of the issues over here, I'm just like, my gosh, almost all of this political party goes against this. And yet these people do. And then there's a group of people that kind of lie in the middle. I don't know how you want to view a libertarian, but you know a lot of libertarians? They didn't know where they stood on the issue. They took this ground where they weren't. And I'm not saying libertarians are bad people. I don't really know, which is a good hint. That's why you can't go voting for people that you don't know. I had to do a little research on people. And so I just thought, you know why I'm not going to vote for her? You know why I'm not voting for him? Because they would not say where they're for or against. That tells me they would probably lean towards the majority of money. You know, they'd probably go that direction wherever they needed to. And so I want to know. And if you can't stand, I would respect you more, even if you're against me. But I'm just like, hey, at least we know where she stands. Isn't that refreshing? Oh, I disagree wholeheartedly, but we know where each other stands. That's cool. That's hard to have that argument today, isn't it? Because people are crazy today. And I'm crazy. So know your leaders, and as a leader, be known. And you know the Bible, let me give you a few little tidbits. I'm just throwing this out here, right? Here it comes. Get ready. Hebrews 13. You know what it says? Remember them that have the rule over you. Go down to verse 17. It'll say, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Isn't that so foreign today? Who is a spiritual leader that you submit yourself to? You got Google and the internet. Who do you need? Well, I just want you to know something. I'm not saying that. God's word keeps saying that. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, you know the house of Stephanas? Those people are addicted to the ministry. You know what you need to do with those people? You need to submit yourself to them. A whole household addicted to the ministry. Submit to them. And I'm telling you today, man, people, that word, like people like to put it out of wedding vows. Guys, submission is a great place to be. We should all be submissive to spiritual leaders. And we should all be submissive. Even in our homes, if you're a child, to a mom and a father, and or to a wife and to your husband, and to ultimately all of us, to the Lord Jesus Christ, but even spiritual leaders. I like in the book of Titus, we preached that book here several years back. I love in Titus where he says, hey, there's some things out of order there. There's some things out of order, and I'm going to set them in order. So I'm going to send a guy, and as he sends a guy, he just says, here's what's going to happen. One of the first things he's going to do is ordain elders. You know what he was saying? The first thing we're going to do is say, okay, we got to stop this madness. Here's the guys that have stood the time. We've watched them and seen them. These guys are your leaders. Follow them. Follow their example. And that's when people are like, you know, and people don't like this kind of talk. And I don't know why. Do you not like the Bible? Don't talk to me about that. It's God's word saying this stuff. I don't know. That's weird to me. So weird to me. Hey, can we change these vows? I don't really like the word submit. Well, I got news for you. Them are not traditional Christian vows. Them are biblical words and verses of Scripture. You want to ask me to do away with them? No. And then what I do, I drop kick them through the goalpost for life. That's what I do. I'm not doing that. Know them. So do you see it? 1 Thessalonians, everybody see that? He says, you know what manner of men we were among you. We were known. And you know, you got to know us. That's a great thing. And then it says next, and you became followers of us and of the Lord. You became so you know us, and you're like, you know what? I need to follow that. And it's like footprints in the snow. You need that kind of example. And listen, don't get freaked out by this, because a lot of people say that, man, I don't follow any man. Well, you're dead wrong, my friend. You're dead wrong. You should. I'm not saying you should follow every man. I wouldn't follow a corrupt individual or a corrupt lady. But the Bible keeps saying that there is a pecking order and there are roles. And for ladies, for guys, older ladies, teach the younger women. They need to see this. You need to have those people in your life, you know. And it's sad today because, you know, you can get on like YouTube and figure things out. You're just like, man, I never had a mom that pulled me in the kitchen and showed me how to make a homemade pumpkin pie. And hey, by the way, you can buy one at Aldi's. I'm not saying you have to make it homemade, but or to get a turkey and to do that. Not everybody has to cook. I'm not saying my mom was never a cook. You know, but we can get on YouTube today and figure it out instead of it'd be nice sitting there, come in here, sweetie, and figure it out. Your kid would be excited. Your kid will be excited about turkey if they're 4 years old and you pull up a chair and get up on it and just, okay, reach inside that turkey. Let's see what's in there. You know, and they pull that stuff, and every little boy on the planet's like, yes, what is this, you know? And then, yeah, you go through the whole thing, dance with the turkey, butter that thing up, and you just go through the process. Sweetie, mix this up. Do this, do that. And instead of today, we're like, you know, I'm not doing that. That's a lot of trouble. It's trouble getting to know somebody. I'd rather watch it. And I look at YouTube videos on how to smoke this and do that. And I'm like, I'm not watching a 12-minute video because I don't have time. I'm looking for the 3-minute video, you know. But better than that, you know what you should do? Is you should look for the lifestyle that you can partner up to next somebody that knows how to do that. And you'll see it. Follow. He says, you became followers of us and of the Lord. So, guys, I'm not a weirdo. Like, I don't want to create some. It's not cult-like. Everybody says that. It's like a little cult, isn't it? Yeah, it went. Once again, you know, my gosh, you know, I used to be a paper boy growing up. I always delivered papers. And people didn't like the news. They weren't happy with the paper. I just delivered it. I didn't write that. I'm not smart enough to write that. Right? That's what Jesus says. He says, and you became followers of us. Yeah, you should, because when somebody newly gets saved, they don't know how to live the Christian life, but you know how they're going to get it? They know you because they're watching you, and then you're moving, and they're watching your steps, and they can follow in your steps. I remember in high school, I decided I was going to give my heart to the Lord, and a guy got a hold of me named Bruce Fitzgerald. He's from New York, and he had a real rough accent, man. I was scared of this guy. He says, we're going out street preaching, and I was like, all right. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. I'm in high school. And, you know, here I am walking around and, you know, in a T-shirt and he, this guy suited up, man. We're knocking on doors near the University of Akron. People are opening the doors and you and this guy's just like, okay, I want you to watch me. And he's telling them about Jesus and asking them about their souls. He would bring up church, but church was never the first thing. It was always Christ. And then I'm watching this. You know, I'm like, oh, and he goes, then he turns on and he goes, hey, are you praying for me? I'd like to lie right now, but no, I was nervous. You know, well, pray for me, dude. That's how it works, you know. And so all of a sudden, we get to door, like, I don't know what it was, but it was just several doors down. And he's like, bam, bam, bam. And he was a rough dude, man. He looks at him, he goes, you take this one. He backs up, and they were already coming to the door. I'm like, no, no. Hey, you know, but you know, I learned. I followed him. I needed him in my life. Did you know one time there was a group of Muslims, and they had a house, no furniture in it. They gathered. It was like a club on campus. They were doing something in a circle, and I thought, they invited me in. I thought, man, that's a win. So now I'm with a younger guy just like me. They said, hey, you need to take off your shoes in here. And I took off my shoes. I go in. They're sitting around the circle. Get on your knees. I get on my knees, and I'm just in there. You know what I'm doing? I'm praying, looking for an opportunity so I can share Jesus Christ with these guys. But they're doing their thing. And I'm involved in whatever they were doing, which was kind of strange. You know what I heard seconds later? Loud knock. It was Bruce. And Bruce, when that door opened up, and he looked and he goes, what are you guys doing in here? He looks at all these people. He goes, what? Because we were young, man. We was in high school. What are you doing with these guys? And he says, get your stuff. You're getting out of here. He's like, where's your Bible? And I said, man, I gave it to that. I go over there. He went to that guy. He goes, give me that Bible. That's not yours. We were getting ready to fight in the middle of this place, you know. But I'm learning. See, I'm learning. I was just a learner. And I learned. I didn't learn all great things. I learned things not to do, too. But you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, follow me as I follow Christ. Guys, we need to know the Bible. Because just because some lady or guy is a spiritual leader, and don't be fooled either. You'll hear a message by a guy, just be like, man, I like this guy. And then you start looking up his stuff and what they believe, and you're just like, I probably shouldn't like this girl. I shouldn't like this guy. Do you see where they're at? Do you see what they're doing? It's hard to see from a distance because everything that's put on usually is edited. And guys, for years, I'll give you just a great example of this, and I hope this don't offend you. You know, I hope this really offends you. A lot of people loved, like, Joel Osteen. You know, he was so big and he was so motivational. He said good things, and people like to listen to him. It was good for their heart. But you know what's funny? Everything you watch on the internet, I'm just telling you this, dig deeper. Go find videos and look at what the church really believes. It'll flip you out. All the things that happened in that church, they never put out in public. You know why? Because believers like you and me would shut it off. That they believe a whole host of things that don't line up with the Bible. And I'm actually talking about strange things, like things that are done. And even up here, we're careful, guys. We sing some songs. We'll sing this beautiful song, and then I'm like, oh, man, I really love this guy. And then I'll go look and find him in an interview, and he's just like, yeah, late at night, we go out lay on the graves of saints that have died before us, and we lay on their tombstones, and we just trying to soak up their souls. Do you know what I mean? And I'm like, what? What am I doing? That's ridiculous. And I'm not saying their song wasn't good, and I'm not saying that guy or that girl didn't know Jesus. Please don't take me there. They might know Jesus. But then on top of that, man, geez, I know Jesus and smoke a lot of weed. Wow. That stuff does nowhere near the Bible. Hey, know them so that you can follow them. We need that, guys. You know, there was an error. I just remember growing up. It took me 17 years old where I realized I didn't know my dad. And he lived in my house, you know. And that's changed. We had to get to know each other a little bit better. Dad's in your house. Your kids should know you. Your family should know you. And that way they have somebody to follow, you know. So who do you follow on social media? There's a guy I follow on social media. This guy's not even a Christian, but I love his stuff. He's actually a master marketer. I love his stuff. He's really a professional marketer for social media, and I like that stuff. So I'm watching, and man, I got into him so much, and then I'd bang, ding, 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 his feed would come up. I'm like, man, this guy's great, isn't he? Well, he does say some great things. The problem is he's not a biblical guy, but I wasn't really necessarily looking for that from him. But it got to the point where I was thinking like him. I was even saying stuff like, and then after a while, I'm just like, I probably need to unfollow him. He's not a Christian guy. His thought process is just dead wrong because I'm not after the things he's after. I learned some things from him, but I had to end up unfollowing him because that's all I was seeing. That's all I was doing. You know, if you would just take that time, if you had all the minutes up in the videos, because this guy posts several videos a day, and if I would just take that exact time, do you realize this book of First Thessalonians, I'd be up here quoting every verse to you because I'd know it by heart. I'd have that book memorized, you know. Instead, I'm, TikTok and Instagram and with, you know, Gary Vee, you know, whoever, you know. So who are you following? It's a good question because we need to have godly people in our lives who are following. And don't say, well, I follow him and I follow him. Well, be careful. It should be somebody that's touchable. I think you need to have somebody local. And I'll tell you right now, something that they don't offer you, I don't know if you've ever had some. Sometimes in counseling, you know what I've needed more than anything? I come up, I can find answers on Google. You know what I can't get on Google? I can't get arms put around me. I can't get the human touch just saying, and not even that you're right, but just sometimes saying, I'm with you, man. It's going to be okay. It's funny when my daughter gets cancer and we're up in the hospital, social media stopped for us because I didn't give a care about it because it wasn't getting me through. It wasn't it, you know? And so it's funny how sometimes it takes tragedy and you realize what's real, what's not. So know them and then so you can follow them. By the way, let me give you some, ready quickly, I'm going to throw it out here. Whew, these are fastballs. So in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says those that hear his voice can follow him. So I just want to point out just some real practical things to follow people. Jesus said you got to be close enough to hear my whispers. Guys, get close to Jesus. Walk with him. Because he says you were followers of us and of the Lord. We were following Christ, so you can follow us. But you're following the Lord. There will be times in your life when a leader might say, we're going this way, and God might speak you another way. I believe that. Sometimes it looks like rebellion sometimes, but I've seen in God's word where he splits up teams and does that type of thing. Get close enough to hear his whispers. In Luke chapter 18, he says, hey, this rich guy, he says, you know what you need to do? Sell everything you have. That way, he says, Lord, how do I get eternal life? And I want to follow you. Jesus says, sell everything you have, give to the poor and follow me. And the guy's like, I don't think I can do that. Jesus said, I didn't think you could either. If you want to follow Christ, you got to leave what's valuable to you and do what's valuable to him. Matthew 16, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Denial and suffering to follow him. That's exactly right. We're famous for, you know, because of the internet, we're just, knowledge is constantly being vomited on us. That's what it is. Blah, blah. But some of it we take like, oh, you know, I've thrown it before. I'm like, oh, I didn't chew that hot dog very well, right? There's chunks in there. I'm not saying there isn't. But most of the time you're being vomited on. And as you're being vomited on, it's all over the place. What we really need to do is we need to be careful, because the reason you're vomiting is there's no more room in there. It's like me at the gas pump one time. I pull up to my truck, put it in, I hit click. You know, you're not supposed to leave the gas pump. I learned why this day, because I'm just like, I got to go to the bathroom. So I ran inside to go to the bathroom. I come to the bathroom, and I walked out of the bathroom, and a guy goes, is that your truck out there? And I look out, and guys, there's a, my gas tank was full, you know, 2 minutes ago, and it never shut off, so it just kept pumping out. So I literally just flooded the whole place, you know, every ground, and cars were literally like, oh my gosh, what in the world? You know, nobody ran over to shut my gas pump off. But anyways, about 6 gallons of gas, man, I put on the ground that day. Why? The tank was already full. And I think that's what the internet and social media does for us. You get in a word. It used to be you get in a word that morning and meditate upon scripture, and you leave, and you're like, I'm just so full. I'd meditate on that scripture. Instead, what do? We get done with this, and we're like, I think I'll just look at Facebook a little bit. You know, I want to go to Instagram. You know, or then you get on the toilet. That's what everybody does. Social media, it's good on the toilet, right? Because a lot of the stuff needs flushed. That's why. And you get on there. Before you know what's happening, guys? Your tank was full. You're not using that stuff. And it's terrible, isn't it? Yeah, it is terrible. Come on, man. Get behind the wheel and obey the Lord. Do what he's told you to do. Follow Christ, you know? And so make sure that we're getting filled up by the word, but we know what denial and suffering is. I like when he says in Matthew 9, hey, leave your job, leave your career. That's what you do. And read it, Matthew 9:9. He just says, yeah, really get up and leave all that stuff and come follow me. So guys, I want you to know, I'm not saying to follow Christ, you need to leave your job and your career. But Jesus said that. You mean all of us? No, I mean, a lot of us, that's where God called you, and you do well there. But just don't ever forget, don't let that get bigger than your ministry, right? Let the dead bury the dead. That's what he says. Family, what about family? You ever look at family in the Bible versus the family of God in the Bible? Hey, Jesus said that. Jay preached on it the last night. And, you know, let the dead bury the dead and follow me. Sometimes following him means there has to be some sort of, like, denial there for sure. Or also some purpose. Follow me and I will make you what? Oh, you're fishers of men now. So does that mean if you're not fishing for people, then you're probably not following Christ? I think it definitely does mean that. So check this out. We're on number three now. Know them, follow them, and then he says, and then ye were in samples in verse 7. Oh, before I get there, let me cover one thing. He says here, having received the word of much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. I love this. When you start talking joy in the Bible, because a Christian, you think that joy is everything's perfect. Everybody in my family's healthy. We got plenty of food in the refrigerator. The bills are paid. The house is clean, right? Everything's perfect. Joy. That ain't joy in the Bible. But a lot of times joy in the Bible is actually involved with suffering. And he says here that you received the word with much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Because it takes suffering. It takes a difficult time for you to dig a little deeper. And what's awesome is when things seem to be falling apart on the inside, you go to God's word and you realize on the inside, yeah, things are falling together for you, you know? And so just remember that. He talks a lot about, in the great trial of affliction, We had an abundance of joy, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2. Brother, count it all joy when you enter into divers temptation, because it produces great things in your life. So just remember that we have a joy underneath. Joy as a Christian don't mean everything's perfect. It means we know the perfect one. Right? Our joy is set in eternity. So down here, and don't we, boy, we ruin this, don't we? Because our kids, what do? They grow up and they learn this thing and just say, man, I'm bored. Well, let me give you a wound that you have to tend to. Whap! You know, you ain't bored anymore, right? Bored? What is that all about? Bored. They can't, you know what that usually is? Left to myself. I don't have a real joy and a real peace inside. You know, and we need to get to that spot, don't we? So just make sure, and two, your suffering is because of Christ. I'm not saying you suffer because you do stupid things. We've all done that before. I'm not happy about that. Are you? Sometimes I leave a situation, I go, Lord, I'm glad you love me, because I'm pretty sure them people don't. So I got a joy. I'm okay tonight. But just remember, I want you to know too, church, going into Thanksgiving, I tend to preach up here. I tend to preach hard sometimes. I remember there's a whole list of verses in Scripture. Jesus Christ not only wants you to have joy, he not only wants to be your joy, he wants your joy to be full. Full. It don't mean your life's perfect. He wants your joy to be full. And he says, I got a slug of verses up here if you want to look at these when we're done. You're more than welcome to it. But he'll give you peace. You have a joy in your heart that he provides. Joy, J-O-Y, Jesus, others than yourself. It's beautiful, isn't it? And then he wants your joy to be in him. And then you become a joy giver. That's what happens. When you get real true Jesus in your life and joy, I like 2 Corinthians 1:24. Paul says, talks about being helpers of your joy. Great, great little phrase there. Helpers of your joy. We want to see other people get joy. And that joy is only found in Jesus Christ, right? So I just wanted to preach just a little bit on joy, 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 joy. Know them, follow them, and then model them. So what you do is once you know them, then you begin to follow them, model them in their follow them in their steps. This is what we need. This is missing. You know, I think of every area of life, we can think how it applies. You know, the football team, a freshman comes in. Very rarely does a freshman start. Why? He needs to watch upperclassmen, and they model it for him. You go out there, you don't know the playbook exactly. You don't know how it looks, or, you know, and I know guys that don't even play. And yet a freshman will go, where am I going? Right, left, right. And they're like, right, dude. And they'll say the play. Because it's a guy that's been in the program for a while. He might not be as athletic as this guy, but the guy don't have it up here. So he's getting it. And that dude helped him out. See how that works? Or you go out there and you're just like, how does this work? What are we doing? How do you say this? This is just simple action. How does it work? And what do you do as a freshman? You just watch intently. That's what you do. You follow an older guy. That's how it's supposed to work. And so in the Bible, you know them, follow them, but then so that eventually you can model them. Because if this dude's after Christ and I'm after Christ, he's my example, then it gets to the point where I want to be like him. God's used so many good men in my life through the years for me to be this. So many men for me to model. And a few of these men are still in my life. But, you know, they can be. He told these guys, he said, you received the word of much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, and now you're in samples to all them believe. Everybody that believes in the next couple of towns, they're looking at you guys because you're after it. See, you should grow to your spot where you can be an example. Hey, parents in the room, there's younger parents watching. As our kids get older, I don't have any more littles in my home. So look, I should be an example. It don't mean everything's perfect. It don't mean we don't fight or nothing like that, because we do it and we do it very well. But you should be able to look and say, you know what, I need to father like that. And that's what God did for me. He put me with two great families in my younger Christian life and just showed me what a real dad does and how a real dad serves and how leadership looks. It was good for me, and I hoped to model that in my own home. I guess you should probably ask the girls and see if that is true. But, you know, we should be in samples. He goes, people are looking to you. You're an example. So, hey, folks, some of you in this room have been saved long enough. You should be in samples to this church, to this body. We should be able to say, check her out. Check him. That sounded bad, didn't it? Hey, dudes, check her out. No, I didn't mean it like that. I meant check that dude out. Check her out because she's after it. That's exactly how it's done. Unfortunately, a lot of times it's like, hey, that is not how it's done. I just want you to know that. The way they're doing is not how it's done. They should be in samples. They should be a great example. A copy or imitation. But remember this, you ain't going to be no example till you go through hard times. Isn't that funny? The best lessons in life we all learn, isn't it, through failure or difficulty? It just is. You keep a joy underneath, and people just say, my gosh, man. And then they can look and just say, if they got through it, man, I know we can get through this. You're exactly right. Hook your train to that, man. Hook up. Put your trailer on their bumper, man. You need them for a while, right? Christ suffered, and what did he do? He left us an example. So just remember, they received the joy with much affliction. See, they paid a price. Their faith was tested, because a faith that can't be tested is a faith that can't be trusted. And so people are watching. They're watching you go through this, and then with joy of the Holy Ghost. Notice joy of the Holy Ghost, because it's not self-produced joy. I can't seem to produce enough happiness. I can't produce enough dopamine to keep me happy. But the Holy Ghost inside of me, and I tank up on God's word, and I find myself even in difficulty, even in hurt, going, it's going to be okay. His grace is sufficient for me. This great relationship I have with him is solid. It's true. Jesus says, I've given you an example that you should go and do likewise. That's it. So pastors, it says in 1 Peter 5:3, pastors, leaders, shepherds in the room, people that are leaders. Don't forget 1 Peter 5:3. He says, be careful not to lord the flock. It's not your job as a leader to dominate or lord them. But he says, but be thou an example. Just be an example. That's what you do. Don't lord. Model it. This is how it's done. And you show them, and they see it from your life. Oh, watch me do it. Guys, I had a missionary come to my house one time. It's a funny story. Come to my house, and his kids were brats. I mean, like brats. Like, hey, man, I don't know if you care if I do this or not. Can I put your kid's hair in the blender? This is ridiculous, man. Like, I don't know what to do with this kid, you know? And finally he says, yeah, I don't know what to do. I said, well, dude, listen, here's what the Bible says. This is like Bible 101, isn't it? Well, it wasn't to him. You know what I did? Poor Bethany. She's teaching Sunday school now in the other room. And she never even knew this. She did something wrong. I don't know what it was, but she was deserving some correction. And so I took her into the bedroom and I said, hey, I need you to come here. I said, I'm going to leave the door cracked. And I want you just to watch the process. And so I did it like I normally would do it. It takes a long time. We had a conversation. I said, sweetie, and I was calm, you know, this time. I was glad he was watching during this moment. And I said, hey, if you choose to sin, what do you choose to do? And she goes, suffer. Yeah, if you choose to sin. So this was your choice. And now I'm not going to be disobedient to the Lord. And so I pulled out our, you know, I had a little rod, a little spanking stick. She was just little. So I had her bend over the bed, and I'm working through it. And, man, and it usually takes one time. You know, you're not hurting them, but, you know, I was aimed. No, I'm just kidding. And, man, I let her have it, and she cried and cried. And I literally said, you sit there and cry, and I'm going to come back in. And when I went outside that room, this missionary, like, he was emotional. He's like, dude, you know, what he discovered? He said he was... Guys, have you ever seen those skewers you use to, like, for kebabs on the grill? They're like that long, pointed, sharp end. That was his spanking, his correction stick. Dude, I said, you couldn't kill a gerbil with that thing. Like, what in God's name? Part of it's pain. Don't sin cause injury and pain? It does. Injury might be strong. I'm probably going to have my kids take it from me this week. I think it's on. They're going to block it on social media. That's okay. I've had DCFS come to call me on the phone. They were going to come to my house because of a church member that overly abused his child. And he said, I learned that at Maple City Baptist Church. They called me. I said, hey, you can come over to my house if you want to. Come on. And this lady, finally, I just said, hey, you got three boys? Oh, and no husband? I said, oh, man, I know you spanked them boys, didn't you? Come on. Tell me the truth. It's, by the time it was over, this lady was like, well, yeah, I had to, but I don't think it's right. And I said, no, ma'am, it's totally right. It's okay to say that. But I get who you're working with and people that are jacked up and angry and they're abusing their kids. I'm not about that. So we ended up being good friends by the time this thing was over. My wife was listening to me. She's like, I'm telling stories. I was like, well, like the other day, here's what happened. And I said, here's as a dad what I have to do. My daughter needed corrected. You know, but, like, but no, and I was like, and I mean, worst case scenario, they take our kids. That'd be a blessing. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. I'm thankful for my kids. The bottom line is this. We know them. Follow them. We're talking human beings here. But then you reach a spot in your life where you model it for other people. People are watching you. So, believer, I hope you're modeling Jesus Christ. I hope that we can look to you and just say, follow his example. This is what discipleship looks like. You get to know people, and then he says, and then you followed us and the Lord. And the way you received the word, man, through much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost, now you become we tell everybody, model after these guys. These guys are doing it right. So, church, today I just want to encourage you, do it right. Who are you following? What person do you have in your life that can admonish you or rebuke you? And guys, some of us will sit there and go, and don't tell me it's like I don't have anybody in my life to do that because, you know, I'm just a little bit more mature. I get it. But even at my age, I'm 52 years old. You don't think I get off sometimes? You don't think I need somebody to look at me and just say, hey, dude, you're wrong about that? Or I can tell you're really angry about that. I don't want everybody doing that, so I just give a few people that in my life. And so guess what? Know them, follow them, and then you can model them. That's what we do, right? Know Christ, then we grow in our relationship. We follow Christ, and then what do we want to do? Be like Christ. Church, do you got it? That message is simple. We preach here a lot, but I'm telling you, we're losing it. That's why God has us here this morning. We're losing this. We get to a spot where my Christian life is me and the internet. It's me and Google. It's me and social media. And guess what that makes you? Yeah. You lose on that gig. You lose. You need somebody to look at you in the face and be right there, right? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word and this church and this book that was written by Paul and Silas and Timothy. Lord, we needed to hear these things today. Lord, we come off of a conference, and it was so good to be reminded of things we already know. God, thanks for encouraging our hearts to let us know that it's not over, that there's more to do. God, I pray that we position ourselves as a warship, as a conduit for your love, for your grace, for your mercy. God, I'm thankful for the Maple City Baptist Church. I'm thankful for all the men and women that make up this church, Lord, as we gather together. And God, we're asking for help this week at Thanksgiving, that we can really be a thankful people. We can demonstrate that to people around us. God, take us to the spot where we can be really models. We can be examples. May we see some maturity in this room like never before. This spirit, independent spirit of rebellion, God, I just pray that you use your word and God, sift that stuff out of here. May we just be a very submissive people, very tender and sensitive, Holy Spirit of God, to you, to your word, and to leadership that you've put in our lives. So Jesus, thanks for what happened next door, our kids. I pray that they were saturated with the word today too. And that was fun. Well, I do pray they enjoy it and they would love your church so they can come back. So Jesus, thank you. We praise your name. Amen.